Welcome to the Trinity Life Podcast. The Trinity Life Podcast is designed to help our church family across both campuses connect with the hearts and stories of our pastors, elders, and ministry staff. In each episode, we step beyond the talking points and formal scripts to have a laid-back, relational, and heartfelt conversation with our leaders. Join us as we get to know the people behind the ministry, their journeys, and the passions that drive them to serve. So we're here this morning with Mike Holbrooks at Nuevo Campus. He is the director of campus ministries at Nuevo Campus. And so we're about to hear what all that entails. For right now, while Patrick's has moved to the Big Rapids campus and we are without campus pastor here, Mike's keeping things afloat. So we appreciate that. But we're really excited, Mike, to hear your heart and hear your story and what makes you tick, what you're excited about, what brought you, what road did God use to bring you here? So we're going to just talk about some really good stuff here, and I'm excited to hear about it. So if you could start, just give us your personal testimony, your personal faith testimony, who you were before Christ, what that meant when you met Jesus and your life was transformed and how he placed a call on your life. And yeah, so walk us through that a little bit.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Aaron. I grew up in Texas. We ended up moving around a lot. My dad was in the oil business in Texas, so we ended up moving quite a bit. As part of growing up in the South, especially when I was younger, going to church was, that was the thing to do.
Right, right. Bible Belt, okay. Right.
That's just what you did. But I didn't know Christ. And I had a grandmother who was eventually estranged from us, by no choice of her or my sister or I, who knew Christ, prayed for us. My mom was divorced when I was very young, so early 60s. We lived in a town of about 300, and she was one of two divorced women in the town.
Oh, boy, okay.
So you can imagine early 60s what she was subjected to.
Sure.
But anyway, when my father left us, my grandmother, who was his mother, took us in and helped my mom get back on her feet. And she was a strong Pentecostal believer. And everyone knew Mama May.
Okay.
And I say that because in my faith journey down the road, that came back and became a significant part of my life. But through chain of events, if you will, my mom remarried, and part of that awkward agreement was that my dad's side of the family could not have contact with me and my sister, who's a year younger than I, to the day, actually. So we lost contact with Mama May for 35 years.
Oh, wow.
And she just ripped from our lives. But anyway, growing up in Texas, and we would go to church and so forth, but it wasn't until I got married to Julie. I was in the Coast Guard. I went in the Coast Guard immediately after high school and met Julie in Sheboygan, Michigan. And so that's how I ended up in Michigan, really. Growing up in Texas, first time I stepped foot, drove into Northern Michigan, I was in love.
Right,
yeah, I remember young guy called my mom on the phone and said, just so you know, I'm never coming home again. Anyway, I clearly was not living for the Lord. In fact, I had my way of doing things. I remember a guy on the ship who just, which I would have called a Jesus freak,
okay,
right? The
right,
big
right.
John Denver smile, just everything's good and everything's wonderful. He went to share Christ with me one time. I knew that was coming, right? So when he started, I said, look, David, here's how it works. I don't ask God of anything. He won't ask me of anything. And we'll just see how it works out at the end. But that's a crucial part of my story. That's why I mentioned that. And he did not know
what to do with that. That wasn't in my training book. Right?
For EE, I never heard that before.
They'll have Gary. Gary, if you're listening to this, go ahead and maybe add to the toolkit that response in evangelism.
That's right.
What do you do with that?
Yeah, exactly. So Julie and I in Sheboygan, and as any good Southern boy who is recently married, you start taking your family to church, right? That's what you do.
That's what you do. Now, was Julie a believer at the time?
No, but she had grown up in church.
Similar to okay.
Probably stronger church presence. But it definitely caught her off guard because I was not in any way living that way.
But you want to do what? You want to go where on Sunday morning?
Where'd that come from? I said, hey, we're married, and that's what you do in the South. So that was my whole impetus for going. Anyway, we shortly after transferred to New Jersey and trying to find a church there, my criteria was pretty simple, that it can't be a Baptist church because that's what I was exposed to down there. And just so you understand, it has nothing to do with Baptist churches or their doctrines or anything, but that's where my mindset was.
Sure. Right? If I was in a Baptist church, any church that's like that, no thanks.
Exactly. Oh, okay. As God would have it in his own sense of humor, the only place in Cape May, New Jersey that we could find to go to church on a Sunday in the winter was either the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church. So I told Julie, we'll go to the Baptist Church this one time. And there were some things going on in my life with the Coast Guard, actually. I was under investigation for embezzlement. So we were going through a pretty uncertain time then. And I was innocent. I always forget to mention that. But we still went through the process.
I was biting my tongue. I wanted to ask so bad. Did you do it?
I went, just as a side note, I went through a polygraph with the FBI. So I said, I'm really nervous about this. And they said, we'll ask you the questions. You just answer. And that's all there is to it. You just wait for the next question. I was so nervous. I failed it twice. The second time they said, so just don't think of anything between the two questions. And I was thinking, how do you do that?
How do you not think of something?
Well, I started counting the bricks on the wall. Evidently, that didn't help either. So the third time around, the questions were a little more pointed. Did you take the money?
No.
Were you involved in? So anyway, we were going through all of that. So back to this Baptist church. Heard the gospel, same gospel I've heard 100 times, but it was real and it was true. Mm. It was like just a curtain opened up. So I received Christ, but when it came to the altar call, there was no way I was walking up front.
I've seen before.
So I held on to that.
What an interesting, when you look at how we see, I think you spoke it perfectly. I'd heard it 1,000 times before, but it was that time. And what the difference was, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's exactly.
There is a Holy Spirit empowerment that, God brings salvation.
He does.
It wasn't like you decided one day, I think I'll do it now. It was...
Or, you're exactly right, Aaron. Or, this makes sense now. I think I'm intellectually... Oh,
yeah. No.
But the flesh still said, I am not walking up front. So anyway, went through that week, and life was totally different for me. Didn't talk to Julie about any of that. So we went back the next week, back to the time of the altar call, and hearing the message so clear, so concise. But when the altar call came, and I was saying, there's no way I'm walking up front. I can do this right here. The Lord pressed me and said, you will go. So I leaned over to Julie and I said, I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. I got to run to the bathroom quick.
That's what she thought. So I got up and started walking up front, and I didn't get 20 feet and I just broke.
Right.
And went up front just broken and weeping and knelt down. They didn't know what to do with me. Right? This is not what we do. You just come up and you make a confession.
You
just come up
and you pray, and then you go back to your seat.
What about this guy? But that was an important part in my life because God had to break me, and it was His way, not my way. That's what that was all about. And He's certainly not done with that. That's right. That was an important, humbling part of who was Lord and who was really sovereign. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that guy in Sheboygan who said, God will do His thing, I'll do my thing, right. I won't ask Him of anything, He doesn't ask anything of me, we move forward.
Do you think, Mike, and hey, if you don't want to go here, that's totally fine, but sure. Do you think situationally that any of the emotional peace was affected by what you were going through in that investigation? Because the thing that would come to my mind is that guilt and declared innocent concept. Was there any of that? What do you think really, was there a phrase or a concept or something that really grabbed a hold of you at that time that the Holy Spirit used to open that door for you?
No, that's a great, insightful question, Aaron. God used that point to continue to chip away of who I thought I was and what I thought I was in control of. Because in those circumstances, I couldn't control any of that. Whatever their impression, whatever their questions, whatever their charges, all of that was, I had no control over.
You had no control over the polygraph.
Right.
Even though you were innocent, you couldn't make that machine tell them you were innocent.
No, that's exactly.
And so you had absolutely no control over the situation. So maybe it was like you tapped out at that point.
Yeah, I think that was an important process for God to just continue to break me down in all those things I thought I was.
Gotcha.
And that's what He does in our life.
Sure.
And it's a lifelong process we continue to struggle with. But before we move away from that, I just want to say, Julie did think I was going to the bathroom, but when one of the deacons came alongside me and I blubbered my way through what was going on, he said, let's go in the back and talk. When I got up, Julie was up there as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh.
So God had been doing the same thing in her life.
In her heart. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So just bringing me to the end of myself.
Right.
Or that initial process in my spiritual walk was important. And that becomes the theme of everything I do now. He alone is Lord. It's not about me. So that's a important part of who I am, I think.
But praise God that you guys got to do that together.
Oh, we would not have made it if we didn't.
My goodness, if it wasn't right.
That's right.
But that's so cool. Isn't it like God to just say, okay, I'm gonna bring you to faith in Christ and your wife's going to be there. But no, I'm going to bring you both to the end of yourselves with me at the same time, on the same day, in the same space together.
That's right.
And what a foundational piece for marriage too, that you're both there, you're both at the same spot. You hear stories of people that, you know, one comes to Christ and then another comes later, or other stories like that. And this is just so cool for God to just give that little extra of, let's just do it both on the same day. That's so good.
And with that, everything did not go away.
Sure.
It went on for probably another 5 months. Mm-hmm. Which was important, an important understanding for me in my walk, that it's not all sunshine and blue skies. Right. There's still consequences or unknowns in our faith with Christ. Mm-hmm. And even if we surrender those things to Him, it's still going to be a difficult road.
Absolutely.
But eventually it all cleared up. Mm-hmm. And
do you think that the situation you were in, having come to Christ, do you think that did you ever come to a place where you were like, wait a minute, I thought when I did it His way, everything was supposed to go well? Or had you caught enough growing up that you knew that's not the case?
No, it's funny. That has never really been an issue, even from the very foundation. And so, no, that never was. Okay. And the very next week, in that precious foundational church in my life, we started the Book of Romans.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So, I mean, how perfect,
Foundational, and really God just started building for down the road.
Yeah, that's right. But no, I've never at this point questioned why God does something.
Did it the way you he ever does it.
Yeah. It's not for me to understand, and I can't understand. Right. But it always does cause me to look back. Are there things in my life that are prompting those?
Right.
Is it disobedience?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just growing pains, stretching that right. God's doing in my life?
Got you. So you had how many children?
Three. We have three children.
Three children, grown and gone. Okay.
Yep. Our daughter, who's the oldest, she lives in Grand Rapids. She has mm-hmm. four. We have our youngest son is in the Boston, mm-hmm. Providence, Rhode Island area. They're in the Coast Guard, and mm-hmm. he has two. And then our son, who is middle-aged, lives near Nashville.
Nashville, okay.
And they have three.
Got you. Okay. So you Sheboygan, and you end up down here in Newaygo, and you're at church here in Newaygo at Trinity, but even before then at River Valley, because you were part of that.
Yeah.
Kind of walk us through, if we could just hit some high points between coming to faith in Christ all the way to being connected with Trinity Fellowship. So give us kind of sure. a couple of the high points, and then we'll really dig into that specific call to ministry as the director of ministries
sure.
here.
So we, from New Jersey, we transferred to Key West. Mm-hmm. So we were in Key West for 4 years. Great church down there. And the brother there, the pastor is now retired, is certainly my mentor in Christ. So we had tremendous opportunity to grow and learn there. We transferred eventually back to New Jersey for another 4 years. I had some medical conditions that they could not resolve, so I was retired after 13 years. So we came back to this area, not sure really what we were going to do. We went initially back to Texas for 3 months, then moved up here to the Sheboygan area. And was in the Coast Guard. I was involved in law enforcement, search and rescue, and then training of officers in law enforcement and search and seizure and those things. So with that, I just pursued law enforcement when I initially got out, but decided against it. I was offered a job with the Marshal Service, and I'd done enough traveling and patrol boats and time away from family. And I felt it was important that I spent time with family. So I actually applied for the post office, and we ended up working in the post office here, Muskegon, Fremont area. And when we came up into this area, attended River Valley, and that was back in 93. And been here ever since, with the exception of a 7-year transfer with the Postal Service to Texas, and then we came back here about 3 years ago. Yeah, I was working in emergency management, and we went through some difficult times here with River Valley, and for an extended period of time as an elder helping work through those processes. So the transfer down to Texas was out of the blue, but I felt at that point, after about 6 or 7 years of some struggles here and trying to lead through that the Lord was moving me away. So,
do you think the Lord moving you away, do you think, and again, we can, if this is more than we really want to dig into, that's totally fine, but do you think that moving you away was more River Valley needed you to be away, or you needed, God wanted you to be away to work on some stuff on you?
I think, no, that's a...
Or both.
And I think it is both. After working through two pastors and working with some issues of...
Difficult issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just as an elder, and at one point the only elder, I just felt God wasn't releasing me to leave. Mm. And it was important that I be here and provide some stability. Mm-hmm. However, at one point with the last pastor, the question began to be, Lord, you're moving everybody else out. Am I the common denominator? Right. So that became the question.
Is it me?
Is he like, yeah, I'm whittling all this away and you're not catching on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just threw that out to the Lord. And so I think it was important. there wasn't any sin active in our lives or anything. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right, we all struggle with sin, but there wasn't
some specific.
There wasn't
thing
a practicing
that to,
sin right. that prompted my leaving. Mm-hmm. But I think I thought it was important, maybe for the church, mm-hmm. and to just see where those things go. So a year after I left, the church was adopted by Trinity. Mm-hmm. In Big Rapids. Mm-hmm. Even in my time here before working with Gary some, Gary mm-hmm. was huge mm-hmm. asset to us. I remember, and I've said this many times, sitting across from Gary one time, he told me, whatever happens, we need to maintain a presence in Nuevo County. And so we went a time where we didn't even have someone to lead music. Mm-hmm. Much less play.
Right.
And Trinity Big Rapids sent people down to do right. music and lead mm-hmm. worship. They had sermon mm-hmm. filling mm-hmm. the pulpit. So they were, for years, have been an intricate part of what is now Trinity at Nuevo.
So in your time, so you spent 7 years in Texas mm-hmm. in between. You left for Texas before Trinity got involved or after
right.
Trinity got
no.
involved?
No, a year and a half before.
Okay, so Trinity got involved while you were gone because you spent 7 years in Texas.
River Valley here, as I understand it, began to reach out to Trinity in Big Rapids.
Okay.
But the connection with Trinity in Big Rapids when I was here before
was unofficial.
Yeah, and
kind
he
of
was just
Gary
helping
mentorship.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you went to Texas and you spent 7 years in Texas, do you see that as intentionally preparatory for when you came back, or do you see it just as more time in life and more experience?
That's a great observation. I did not plan on coming back.
Okay.
And that's how the Lord loves to work.
Was that about his way and your way being called? And
he still hasn't cooperated with that process. But no, going down. The job I was doing in emergency management was with the Postal Service was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. I managed a team that covered 12 states mm-hmm. in just about any emergency you could imagine. So that kept me from getting involved in a church. We attended a church. It was literally a 24/7 job for
sure.
6 years. And that was true. I fully believe that was God's intent. He was moving me away to the wilderness. The first month I was going to this huge church, I bawled like a baby through the worship service. And I was like, where did this come from? Where is all this coming from? But the Lord, he kept me from having the ability to get involved in church. And I think that was important because he was refreshing and refining me.
So you're saying that you think if he had allowed you to be more involved, you would have moved into a leadership role?
Oh, definitely.
And not been able to be refined ahead of time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Got we you.
Helping okay. with us leading a small group, but that was about as far as I could. And I couldn't even attend it consistently because I traveled a lot.
Right.
But yeah, that was all his intentional process.
Got you. So you spent some time in the wilderness. Could you, and if you need to think for a minute, that's fine. Could you put a bow on big pieces that you think he grew you in while you were down there toward your leadership? Like you could say, I really grew in my whatever character trait or whatever leadership quality. Or can
sure.
you specify a couple that maybe you... that you picked up while, and had you not gone down there, you might not have caught them.
Probably some of the largest is management and team building across a multitude of different organizations and people and mindsets and personalities. Mm. When one of the jobs is you're not only dealing with emergencies, but you're planning exercises and leading exercises, facilitating that with state and local governments mm-hmm. and those first responders who are all type A's, right?
Right, that's what puts them in the position.
And all those people in one room and trying to coordinate that is difficult. But it was good. I think it was important for that. That probably one of the most significant And that ongoing process of God trying to teach me to slow down and be still and listen.
Especially when you don't have a lot of time.
Right, yeah. And so even those times being pulled away in travel was good. It allowed me to hone management, administration,
sure.
managing my time more. But my heart has always been the church, always been the church.
Sure.
We made a conscious choice not to go into full-time ministry back in probably 2000, 2001. And because I knew what God's gifts and passions were in my life, and it was the local church, and my role in there was being, it didn't need to be a pastor. It wasn't that. So we determined, I determined, and Julie's support, to be that of a lay ministry and
sure.
using work as a tent-making
right.
ministry.
Exactly.
We've all heard that. And that was even before going to Texas. But I think Texas made that much more difficult. That's why I think there was that pruning, that refining time there. Right. So I knew at some point when I put down the vocation, the Postal Service career, that it would be in full-time ministry doing something, because
sure,
right. that's where my heart has always been.
Absolutely.
For the local church.
Absolutely. So you come back. Now it's Trinity Fellowship Nuevo Campus, not River Valley anymore. This is some similar faces, and came back in and got right to work.
Oh,
there's a chuckle here. We got a story to tell. All right,
yeah, so you're digging deep. When we ended up coming back, my daughter was having some health issues. I just brought it up to Julie, and she said, yeah, if it can happen, I want to move back. And within a month and a half, we were gone. The house was sold. I transferred to the job that I was doing here when I retired. But we moved to Allendale. We didn't move back up to this area because there was that uncertainty of all that I had been going through with the church here.
Okay.
I reached out to Patrick. My heart, I told Julie, I said, if we love the Nuevo area, but that's our church home. There is no other place for us. That's our family. But we can't move back into Nuevo if we can't go back to Trinity, Slant, River Valley. So I reached out to Patrick, and Patrick didn't know me from Adam or much of what had gone on in the past. But I wanted to make sure that all the great things God was doing here, I would not be an obstacle to that. So that was my conversation with Patrick, and I asked him, talk with the elders. Talk with the elders and talk with Gary, because if there's any hint or concern about that, we certainly don't want to come back. And we would stay in that Allendale area. Yeah, we just submitted to that, and I just didn't want to be an obstacle. There are some people that left and some people that in the past that we had to ask leave. Nuevo's a small area.
Right.
So I didn't want us coming back and, well, quite honestly, to some type of hindrance from those in the community coming back to or coming here, if that makes sense.
If that would cause any difficulty for anybody that was here,
you
did not want to get in the way of somebody else connecting with the church family and growing.
Thank you. Yeah.
If there were personality or other things that needed to be addressed or whatever, you didn't want to cause anybody any.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously he said, everybody's good. You're welcome to come join us. And
yeah,
obviously, because you're here, unless there's something I'm missing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So then you came back and you attended for a while and then put your gloves on and went back to work.
Wherever, and it's always been my, I know where my gifts are, but wherever God and the church wants to use me.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Absolutely.
And so I found there's some opportunities where there were some gaps or some needs, and I just stepped into those.
Filled those in.
And helped, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of those gaps that you were filling would be filled, if I remember this correctly, because we were new at this time of this transition to adding the director of ministry, so we weren't here long before you assumed that role.
Right.
And if I understand correctly, you were doing a lot of things that would be covered under a director of ministry's position, and it made sense, a lot of sense, and so they went through the process and you candidated, and just the Lord opened the doors that way. Was there anything really spectacular or noteworthy in that process that you'd be like, wow, hey, that this was really cool? Or was it just, no, this is one of the times where God's doing what makes sense to us, everything lined up, or was there anything wild and exotic?
I still don't know what he's doing. No, that's a great question. When the position came up, I thought, I'll just continue to do what I'm doing mm-hmm. till that person comes in.
Okay, and
then,
sure.
And then I'll fill in wherever they need me.
Whenever that person steps up, I'll just let them take care of it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because it's not about me. It's
right,
about
exactly.
the body of
exactly.
Christ and God's glory. But I did ask, at one point I said, when Patrick was explaining the position, I said, I think I'm doing that. So I asked him what his opinion was, mm-hmm. what he thought, because at that point it would have been the person working directly for and with Patrick. Mm-hmm. So that was important to me, is whatever his thought or impression mm-hmm. was, that would have been my direction. Mm-hmm. But after our talking and praying about it, and I applied, I didn't want anyone to know. That's what I liked about the national search.
Nice.
Nobody knew except a couple of people that I had asked.
Can you share maybe why you wouldn't want other people to know?
Sure, because I'm thinking I can.
If you can't, we can throw an edit in here.
That's right. Maybe I don't know either. One, I felt I didn't want to presume upon the Lord. Number two, unless the position fell to me, I didn't want someone moving into that position and called to that position, and anyone just to know that I had also applied for that position.
Oh,
and
okay.
Any
that
awkwardness.
Get a little awkward. Yeah. So, I beat you out for this, that concept, right?
And the same thing with the body, right? Had they known Mike had put in for this, and
why didn't he get
but
it
we got moment. This guy, what the heck?
Yeah. You didn't want any, just didn't want any mess. Just
that,
didn't want
right.
any awkward or any mess.
Because it's all about the church.
Absolutely.
So,
and you didn't want to make it about something that it wasn't. And
right.
I think that's a great show of just humility. And I think what makes it a perfect fit, we talk about director of ministries and director in the Christian mm-hmm. sense. And there is a sense of that word when we look at like an organizational chart or something. The director
right.
is usually on the top. But that humility and that concept and even the way you went about it, I think just displays the Christ-centered view of how the leader should be, the servant.
Right.
And I think your heart for the church is something that really just calls out in the way you even approach the whole process. And I think that just shows a great amount of humility. So then, so you stepped into that role. And now Patrick has stepped into the senior pastor role. And so a lot of extra stuff has fallen to you recently, probably in the transition, but you're
that's
prepared
okay.
for that. That's what you spent 7 years in Texas doing, is preparing
yeah.
for, quotes, emergency response. The contingency, not that this is an emergency.
No, you're right.
But that it's a unforeseen contingency, and this is how we handle unforeseen contingencies. We just take care of it. So
yeah.
tell me a little bit about, let me ask first, is there a difference between your role as director of campus ministries now that Patrick's there and we don't have a campus pastor, and what your role would normally be under a campus pastor? Is there much difference
sure.
or no?
We're going through quite a transition, not only with the campus pastor, but also our administrative assistant
right.
that we just filled that position. All of those admin things have fallen to me. And I guess I just see if that wasn't a factor and the campus pastor was a vacancy, it's just shepherding the flock.
Sure.
It's not simple, but it's that simple concept. It's shepherding
easy,
and
it's
caring
simple.
For the flock.
Right.
That's right. And all I want to hear, I'm not looking at it from anything from the Lord, but some say, I just want to hear him say, good, well done, good and faithful servant. That's mm-hmm. not me. I just want to hear from my Lord if he would be so gracious and if it is true to say, you're a man after my own heart.
Mm, David style.
Full of mess. You're a clown. I'm a knuckle dragger.
Right.
But I love the Lord and I just want to honor and serve him and shepherd his people in however he leads us and be found mm-hmm. faithful and humble and obedient mm-hmm. to that, whatever he so chooses to lead. So whatever, I think one important aspect is with the vacancy of the campus pastor, the stability of me having been in the position and now officially in the position, if mm-hmm. you will,
right.
is providing stability here that is important as right. we're going through the transition.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So now talk to me about one of the questions I'd love to ask is, what is your favorite part of your role in the ministry at Trinity Fellowship, day to day, nuts and bolts, actual action? And we so much appreciate your heart, and we see that just desire to be a man after God's own heart. Mm. We hear that in your entire story and everything that you go through. And so we're so grateful that, and it just says you're the right guy. But really, kind of on a practical level, for those that are just curious, and what does he do? What is he like? What's your favorite part of your activity on a regular basis sure. as the director of ministries?
And fine-tuned, I think, in just the job outside with the Postal Service, is planning. Mm-hmm. I love planning. I love bringing people together mm-hmm. for those things. But I think all of it ties into just trying to equip and empower and encourage people in those things.
Okay.
I don't want to lead it. We're better off if I don't lead it in some things. But to come alongside those and that are and do and help them grow an excitement for ministry and service and in the mm-hmm. relationship with Christ. And most importantly, understanding what their spiritual gifts are
mm.
and being delighted in serving God as they're doing what God has
called them
equipped
to do.
Them to mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. called them to. That's the most exciting.
The equipping,
yep.
the E word,
right.
got you. So planning so that people can really use their gifts the way that God's given them. Do you see some of that really happening? Can you tell us some places where you've just really seen just some good fruit of that recently?
Man, I'm trying to keep out of these people's way. That's the bottom line. There are so many people that love the Lord here, have a passion for service and ministry mm-hmm. and others, and it's like herding cats.
Right, sure.
They are so excited about the things that they're doing, and they do it well. And so I would just say we're trying to have biweekly meetings with those who are mm-hmm. in those leadership team members mm-hmm. and just trying to help build their coordinating together mm-hmm. and giving them a sense of freedom and excitement about mm-hmm. what they're doing and they seeing the fruit of mm-hmm. that and hopefully bringing up more volunteers and raising that within their ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty evasive answer to a pretty direct question.
That's okay.
That's about it. There's not things that I would be prone to say, oh, I've done this and I've done that.
Yeah, yeah,
when
I get
this
that.
This is going well. But I think it's seeing the heart of the people and their response.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a motley crew, right? When we talk about the body of Christ, we're a mongrel.
we come from
so many different things.
Hot mess. That's what my wife says. It's a hot mess.
That is exactly right. And that's how God intends it.
Yeah.
The key is that each as an individual is growing in a genuine relationship and love for Christ, mm-hmm. which will prompt a life of obedience mm-hmm. and submission and service to mm-hmm. him, which is, it comes down to John 15, right? Mm-hmm. We're simply the branches. Mm-hmm. He is the vine. Mm-hmm. We don't bear the fruit. Mm-hmm. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we're just the vessels right. that the fruit is bore from.
Right.
But it's contingent upon that solid, firm relationship to the vine, rightly connected. So passionate about that. Just seeing people get excited and truly growing in their relationship with Christ. And then I know the Spirit of God will take over in our lives.
Sure, sure.
When that happens, it becomes nothing but our submitting to Him as our Lord and His Spirit using us in a powerful way.
Mm, yeah. So what do you, when you look at what's going on at Trinity Fellowship Nuevo Campus, what do you see is excites you about what God is already doing? What are the big things that you see God is, like, you walk up and you go, oh my goodness, God is doing an amazing thing here. How do I get out of the way? And you say, you said right? just a minute ago, I just exactly. want to get out of their way. What, tell me a couple things that you're excited to get out of the way of and just support on the back end and just equip right. for. What's moving? What's coming up?
So excited about Trinity Kids and Kids Ministries and youth. Mm-hmm. And so many strong families.
Yeah.
And just, it just blesses me on a Sunday to just watch that.
Oh.
Or when we have another example, we had a ladies' Bible study that was Thursday during the morning and Thursday night. And there were 22 women that were coming.
Oh, wow.
And bringing almost 40 kids.
What?
yeah. It
Wait,
was insane.
22 women and 40 kids.
It was probably closer to 35. Mm-hmm. But just seeing that, watching that, and the older teens, the older kids, taking that role of doing games and leading the Bible studies and the reading and helping with the nursery and the toddlers and pouring into them with lessons and stuff. And just seeing that, that is a tremendous blessing.
You can't make that. You can't do that.
No.
You Mike can't walk in there and be like, okay, as the director of ministries, now I'm going to make this happen. Right. And it wouldn't, but look what, my goodness. And so where do you see, like, you're the planning guy, so where do you see your role in that? What's your next thing? Is it, what?
Right.
Tell me about that. Tell me what that looks like for you to jump into something like that and support it.
That's a great question. I think one of the things for us in the summer, one of the keys is, especially going through the transition, is we celebrate what God is doing.
Okay, so because celebration and promotion, okay.
We can get lost in the fact that we're looking for a campus pastor.
Sure.
And we sit back and we wait. Mm-hmm. God has not called us to sit back
no.
and wait. And it's not about a man. It's about those He's equipping that are doing the work of service now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think continuing to build that excitement and letting people see it and join and be part of that and help encouraging others into that, that is key. We need to strengthen outreach in the community. And we have so many people that are involved in things. They're involved in the church, but involved in a lot of ministries within the community.
Okay.
We need to better understand where they're already plugged in and help equip and join them there. Mm-hmm. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Right. And it doesn't need to be what is Trinity's.
Right.
What's going well with some of our other churches that they're doing well in the community that we can help be a part of and encourage. Mm-hmm. It's one body.
Right.
Maybe different buildings in
right.
the same area,
right.
but it's one body in Christ. So I think our ability to capture that, our small groups, those need to continue to grow. For our men, that is a heart for me, is we just need to help encourage our men in their walk with Christ, and that becomes stronger and deeper and richer. And from that, they step into areas of service, which I think we're missing some opportunities there.
Okay.
And men are missing some opportunities of joy and that fulfillment in Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
In not carrying out what God has equipped them for. So how do we get our hands on that in a way that moves men in a positive, encouraging way to know Christ? and take areas of leadership and oversight.
Yeah, and that kind of leading to my next question is how do you see some needs in your role in ministry and what you are overseeing and what you are watching and seeing on a day-to-day basis? Where can the church support you as they support them, if that makes any sense? But where can we, listening, say, you know what, Mike mentioned this, that there's a need here, and not necessarily specifically as we need a person for this role or we need a person for this, but in general, but overarching, what do you think needs to happen at Trinity for people to be using their gifts that the church can get behind to support that general call to service in the body of Christ?
No, that's a great question, and it leads into some of your passions. And that's people understanding what their spiritual gifts are and responding in obedience to those things. But I think first and foremost, my greatest heart for the body here is a passionate walk for Jesus, in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and understanding what their gifts are and responding to that. We don't have to worry about being effective. That's God's problem. Right. He's made this mess of who we are, but That's right. Just an obedient walk with him. I'll get on a bunny trail here, but we are first and foremost and only servants of Christ. Mm. We're not bond servants where we decide if we want to obey or not. We're slaves. Mm. When we look at those words in the New Testament, and our translations have watered down that word because in the Western culture, it has negative connotations. Mm. But it is a negative connotation. We are slaves to Christ. Mm-hmm. And when we understand that it's not about what I want, but what he has called me to. He is my master. Mm-hmm. And so first and foremost, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's such the basic of people just saying, I need to discipline myself to start reading mm-hmm. and praying and coming to know Christ. And most importantly, and I think this is where the rubber meets the road, is understanding my position in Christ. Because if we understand our position in Christ mm-hmm. genuinely, there's no turning back. We realize we were separated. We were dead to sin. Mm. But Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has called us now to a death, burial, and resurrection, right? Mm. We've died to sin. We've been raised in newness of life. And we're fellow heirs with Christ. We're fellow heirs with Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, interceding for the saints, mm-hmm. and has placed within us his precious Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that we might know him more intimately, that we might grow in him, that we might find guidance and strength and comfort mm-hmm. and encouragement and boldness and courage in mm-hmm. service. Mm-hmm. That's what we as a church that's what we need to grasp hold of, is who we are in Christ. Mm. And if we can understand that and we deepen our relationship with him with that understanding and that desire, our lives will be transformed to his glory mm-hmm. and to our amazement.
And we won't be able to help, but we won't be able to stop ourselves serving.
Yeah.
It's just the natural outcome of this is who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you truly know Christ and you're in this body or some other church body, you have been placed there and given gifts specifically by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. for his work, for his equipping. That's what you're there for. It's not to come and get our little thimble of truth from the sermon and mm-hmm. feel good about worship and then spill that thimble of whatever it is before we even get out to the... Right. And then live our life the rest of the week. Right. It's a life that's worshiping God on a daily basis. And when you come here, it's our corporate worship that's extended into that. And then I just living out what God has called me to do. And he'll give me those passions, and he'll provide those opportunities. There's not one genuine need that we have here that God hasn't provided the resources for in people or finances. Oh, so it's our stepping into those
that's
things.
That's a bold statement, Mike. Say that again. There's not one.
I don't know if I can.
Let's see if I can. There's not one need in this body that God has not provided the resources to meet.
That's right.
Essentially. That, yes.
Yep. Yep.
That's a bold statement. But you know what? I agree with you.
Yeah.
I really agree with you that how is God in his infinite wisdom going to present this portion of his body that is Trinity Fellowship, and then specifically Trinity Fellowship Nuevo, how is he going to provide us with something that's needed and not provide us with the resources to meet that need
that's
if he's
exactly
called
right.
us to it? It just does not fit his character and what we see in him in all of Scripture. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's, and so the question then becomes, if there's a need that's not being met, finish that one, Mike. Yeah. I'll let you handle that one.
Yeah. I walked right into that one. I could see you sharpening your claws.
You saw that coming, didn't you?
Yeah. The reality is what you said is exactly true. But I think the first thing we need to ask is, are we doing the things God has called us to? It may not be the right things.
Right.
So we need to assess that. What's our motivation? What's the real need there? Is there a real need?
Sure.
Because we could have all kinds of programs.
Oh, we could do it right? all. But and, food pantries and
And what are we going to say? Hey, it's falling through because God's not providing. No, maybe that's not where God is calling us.
Or
we're not stepping up to
we're
the plate.
We're not responding to the call.
I'll say it for you. That's exactly right.
Mike said it. Everybody just remember that. It wasn't Aaron. It was Mike that
That's
said it.
That's right. See, I don't even realize at this point what trouble I've just walked into.
You're welcome for that.
But that's why we just need to continue to lay the needs before the body of Christ.
Sure.
And assess if they're genuine and they're real, if we're really moving in those things. And if so, we have to trust God, not run ahead of him, but truly trust him, but lay those out to the body of Christ.
Lay them out
and
to the body of Christ.
And where do I see that? Romans 12. Mm-hmm. We see it 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. All of those. And Ephesians 4. Mm-hmm. He's equipping the saints for the work of service.
My goodness. Yes.
All of those verses are key, and it speaks to who we are in Christ and his capabilities here. One of the things that I know it irritates, especially some that don't understand my sense of humor as a knuckle dragger, is we'll talk about something that we're in a dilemma with, and I say, God's really put himself in a corner on that one, right? I don't know what he's going to do, but he sure messed that one up. And it's tongue-in-cheek because we know God's in it. We just have to look to him, and we're not going to have any idea. So many times all of us have seen God work, and it was nothing like we thought was going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
But what'd you say, really? Show up?
Yeah.
He wants us to show up, and he's going to do the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's more, that's the thing with spiritual gifts. I know I've utilized in the past, especially in times when we were really struggling, spiritual gifts that I don't know where they came from. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I have them now.
Sure.
But there was a time and a need that God used those gifts.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking in circles.
No, you're good. No, you're good. Okay. Mike, if I'm a person listening here and listening to the story behind and the heart behind who is my campus or director of campus ministries here at Nuevo Campus, and if I'm in Big Rapids wondering, hey, what's going on down there in Nuevo, you've really given us kind of a picture of who you are, which is the purpose of this podcast and what your call is. But I think you've given us all a lot of food for thought in terms of what is God's call in our life and where do we need to be working and where is God working now. But really, I just want to say, having listened to this story having attended here Trinity Fellowship for a little over a year now with my family and getting to know you like I have, I think it's safe for me to say you're well on your way to that, that you're a man after God's own heart, to hearing that you're a man after God's own heart. Your humility and your willingness to step up and do whatever God's called you to do, I believe you will hear that when you meet the Lord. And so those of you that are wondering that, those questions that have been answered today, I hope that's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me to have this conversation with you, Mike. I'm excited. I'm sure we could talk for hours on this, and maybe we'll have to get back together and do this again and just hear some more updates down the road and what's going on. But we just really appreciate you taking the time to sit and just have this conversation with us here at Trinity Fellowship. We do thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Aaron, and you guys doing this. I wasn't excited about doing this because I knew eventually in some way I'd get myself into trouble, but I don't want to talk about me either. But I understand the value of what you guys are bringing to the table, and it's key, so I just really appreciate it. And I realize the reality is I'm going to make people mad or glad, but they'll never walk away indifferent. They're going to be, I'm going to do one or the other for them.
I think it's a good note to finish on. But hey, just to put out there, if you're listening to this and you have any interest in helping out with this podcast or anything, feel free to reach out to a staff member or somebody that we'd love to have some help in putting this together. And it takes a lot of work. And so if this is something you're passionate about, either on the technical side or the admin side or any of that, we would love to hear from you. And I believe we've got a couple on deck for recording soon that we'll be excited to share with you. But look forward to continuing on with this Trinity Life podcast. And we'll see you Sunday.
Thank you, brother.